The next day, Sam tried valiantly to hide his surprise when he came home from work and found the Winter Soldier not only still present, but sitting in his living room reading four books at once. He was sitting in the middle of the floor, with one book propped against the leg of the coffee table, one lying on the floor in front of him, one balanced between his crossed knees, and the fourth gripped delicately in his metal hand. He had a highlighter trapped between his teeth, and his hair was pulled back in a loose ponytail. Sam stopped halfway between the kitchen and the living room, absorbing the sight. The Winter Soldier released the highlighter from between his teeth and caught it effortlessly with his free hand as he tilted his head in Sam's direction. "Did you bring food?" the soldier asked. Sam blinked, almost forgetting about the shopping bags that were dangling from his fingers, until he followed the soldier's line of sight to his hands. It snapped him into motion, and he turned back to the kitchen to put away the groceries. "There's food in the kitchen already," he said over his shoulder. "I just needed to restock a few things." "I ate it," the soldier's voice followed him, though the man himself remained sitting in the living room. Sam was certain he had not heard that correctly, until he looked in the fridge and realized that the soldier had, in fact, eaten everything. "Guess I'm going to the grocery again tomorrow," Sam muttered under his breath. Sam finished putting away the groceries and returned to the living room. He stopped in the doorway again, because the sight of the Winter Soldier, in jeans and a tank top. Sam didn't want to ask where he was getting these clothes, since they hadn't come out of Sam's closet, scribbling notes in the margins of one of his books. He reminded Sam of college, of high school, of Riley. It hit him like a punch in the gut. But what hurt even worse was the realization that the man sitting in the living room was a person. The whole time, Sam had been thinking of him as the Winter Soldier, without realizing what that meant. That he was mentally dehumanizing the man, just like Hydra had. Sam forced himself to move into the living room, careful to give the soldier, Bucky, plenty of personal space, as he gingerly stepped around the soldiers. No. James? Books to sink into his favorite armchair. The soldier, Barnes, had returned his focus to his books, three of which, Sam noticed, weren't even in English. One was in German, and the other two looked like Russian. One of them was open to a page that was covered in a detailed drawing of a complicated machine that vaguely resembled a hydraulic pump of some sort. If Sam had to guess, they were most definitely not Sam's books. Sam watched over Bucky's shoulder as he highlighted part of the drawing. Sam had seated himself at an angle to Bucky, purposefully not behind him, and Sam could see the creases of concentration between his eyebrows. When Bucky finished highlighting whatever had caught his attention, he set the book down with careful deliberation and tucked the highlighter into the band holding his ponytail. He then turned his attention toward Sam, expectantly. "What should I call you?" Sam blurted. He hadn't entirely meant to ask the question, but it was something that they were going to have to sort out eventually if Barnes was going to continue hanging around. And he'd been looking at Sam with so much expectation that Sam had felt compelled to say something. Barnes blinked, caught off guard by the question. He opened his mouth, but closed it again without saying anything. He looked puzzled. "You said last night that you're not who you used to be anymore. And I get that. I do. So I don't want to call you something that doesn't feel right to you, you know?" Sam explained himself hurriedly, because he could be wrong. Maybe the soldier wanted to take his old name back, and maybe he didn't, but that was his choice to make. "So I'll call you whatever you want, whatever you're comfortable with. Just, you know, let me know. Think it over. I'll start dinner." Sam pushed himself out of the chair, because the crease between Bucky's eyebrows was deepening, and Sam figured he might need some space. Sam was halfway through browning some beef for tacos when Bucky came into the kitchen. "Bucky is fine," he said, his voice harsh and abrupt over the sizzling of the meat. Sam paused, setting down a spatula, and turning to look at Bucky. "Are you sure?" he asked. Bucky's mouth was twisted into a crooked sort of frown, and his eyebrows were still drawn together. But he nodded affirmatively. "Might as well start getting used to it," he said with a half shrug, and that settled the matter. "All right," Sam agreed. "Bucky it is. Would you grab the salsa and sour cream out of the fridge?" Sam had turned his attention back to the skillet, but he listened as the fridge door opened and the container he'd asked for clunked down onto the counter. When Sam finished cooking, they sat down at the table to eat like civilized people, though Bucky perched gingerly on the edge of his chair. Sam didn't comment on it. He didn't comment on it when Bucky managed to fit nearly 2 pounds of ground beef into 8 taco shells and downed the lot of it in less than 10 minutes. The next day, when Sam got home from work, Bucky was gone. But the day after that, Bucky was sitting stiffly on the couch watching reruns of I Love Lucy. Then he disappeared again for 3 days. Sam gave up on trying to predict Bucky's movements, and he stopped being surprised when Bucky appeared suddenly in his house. He stopped being surprised, but that didn't mean he was okay with it. Surprisingly, it wasn't the abrupt appearance of a former assassin in his house that bothered him. It was the unpredictable and unexplained absences. It was never knowing when, or if, Bucky would come back. Sam flailed around blindly for his phone without bothering to open his eyes. It was ringing shrilly, and since he always kept it in the same spot on his bedside table, he didn't even need to lift his face from the comfort of his pillow to find it. He did have to crack one eye open to make sure he was hitting the answer button correctly, but he closed it again immediately as he brought the phone to his ear. "Hello," he said, decidedly not caring that the word was muffled by the pillow he was pressing his face into.
"You were asleep."
Steve's voice was laced with guilt and apology. It was 2 a.m., and that meant that Steve was having a rough night. It wasn't the first time in the month he and Sam had started having regular phone conversations. It had taken a lot of prying for Sam to get Steve to admit that he still frequently had trouble sleeping, and a lot more convincing for Sam to convince Steve that he really did want Steve to call him if talking about it would help, no matter what the time. So Sam cut Steve off before he could actually vocalize the apology and try to hang up. "I'm not anymore," he said firmly, sitting up and rubbing the sleep out of his eyes with his free hand. He rested the elbow of his other arm on his knees so he didn't have to fully support the weight of the phone as he held it to his ear. "So what was the movie tonight?" The rest of the Avengers, apparently, had jumped quickly onto the catching Steve up on popular culture train, starting with Natasha and Clint, and then, once they'd realized that Thor 2 was woefully uneducated, they'd started having regular movie nights. Steve recounted these events to Sam with a mix of embarrassment and delight. The fact that Steve always wanted to discuss what he'd learned with Sam afterwards made the thought of Steve having fun with his new team hurt a little bit less while Sam sat alone in his empty, sometimes assassin-haunted, house. Sam could hear some of the tension draining out of Steve.
"Star Wars, Episode 6, he answered.
Sam bit back a snort. The Avengers were gradually working their way through the Star Wars movies, and it was sort of refreshing to hear the opinions of someone who hadn't grown up with it.
"All right, lay it on me," Sam prompted, settling in for a rant.
"It was interesting," Steve tempered.
"Uh-huh."
"No, really," Steve insisted. "I liked it."
"Except?"
"It's just..."
Steve sighed.
Tony has this big collection of Star Wars merchandise that he showed me before we started watching the movies, when he was talking them up to me, right? I get all of the merchandise that has Darth Vader on it. I mean, that makes sense. The whole series is about him, really. And I guess the Stormtrooper sort of makes sense, too. But why is this Boba Fett guy on everything? I kept looking for him. I'm pretty sure he's in less than 5 minutes of the movie. He just shows up, stands next to Jabba, and then Luke kicks him into a hole. Natasha insists that he was in episode 5, but I don't even remember seeing him.
There was a pitched, plaintive tone to Steve's voice, and Sam let his head rest back against the headboard as he laughed. Yeah, I'll be honest, Sam agreed. I never got all the hype about Boba either. Now Jango, I could kind of get, since he actually has a story. He's in the prequel trilogy. But Boba, not so much. But I can tell you why he's on all the merchandise. Same reason the other two are. They all wear those big helmets that cover their faces, so the company doesn't have to pay any of the actors for face rights.
Huh.
Steve admitted.
I hadn't thought about that.
It's all about the money, my friend, Sam confirmed.
Bruce keeps telling me that I'll like Star Trek better,
Steve informed him.
But Tony says that's blasphemy.
I'd have expected Stark to be more of a Trekkie, Sam mused. The science in Star Trek is better.
I'm pretty sure that's why he doesn't like it,
Steve said.
He likes to complain. About everything. If the science in Star Trek is more accurate, there's less for him to complain about.
Fair enough, Sam laughed, tugging his blankets back around himself. He had to admit that it was nice to lay in the dark and listen to the warm, soft tones of Steve's voice. He did not let himself admit exactly how nice it was, or which parts of him Steve's voice was warming. They let silence hang on the line between them for a few moments, before Sam spoke again, his voice quiet and devoid of pressure. Do you want to talk about it? Steve didn't answer right away, and Sam imagined him fidgeting as he decided how to answer.
It's too quiet,
Steve said at last.
Tony's got some kind of high-tech soundproofing all over the tower, and my room is towards the center of the tower anyway. When I was a kid, we had thin walls, and a lot of the time in the summer, we kept the windows in to stay cool. And it wasn't nearly as loud or as bright as the city is at night now. But still, it was not this quiet.
Sam let Steve talk, let him get all the words out. He knew better than most that sometimes that was what was important. He didn't always need to offer Steve a solution. Just an opportunity to say what was on his mind. Make your thoughts seem louder, doesn't it? Sam said knowingly when Steve stopped.
Too loud,
Steve agreed, sighing. You could try playing some ambient noise, Sam suggested. Beaches and rainforests were more common, but Sam was willing to bet someone at some point had made a CD of city sounds. Lots of people do that. It helps the brain relax. Helps to turn off the startle response and everything. Steve considered that for a moment.
It's worth a try,
he agreed. And if it's too dark, Sam continued, there's absolutely nothing wrong with using a nightlight, and don't let anyone tell you different. He exaggerated the vehemence in his voice a little, knowing it would make Steve smile. But he meant what he said. Steve did smile. Sam could hear it.
I've already got that covered, he admitted. Natasha bought me one with a cover on it shaped like my shield. She said it was only fitting.
Aw, man, now I'm jealous, Sam joked.
I'm still amazed by how much Captain America merchandise they've made,
Steve said, his voice more embarrassed and bemused than amazed. They'd had this conversation before. Hey, Captain America is cool, Sam defended, in the same tone of voice he'd used when he was a kid and his sisters had tried to make fun of him for buying yet another Captain America t-shirt. It made Steve laugh,
which had been Sam's goal.
Uh-huh.
Steve did not sound convinced.
Hey, have you made any progress on that soccer league you were trying to start?
The conversation between them was easy, just the right amount of playful, and Sam barely even noticed when 2 a.m. became 3 a.m. It was always like that when they talked, as long as they talked about inconsequential things. Pop culture, hobbies, those things were easy. Those things they could joke about. It was nice. Nice enough to eventually lull them into a state of relaxed exhaustion so that Steve could finally sleep. Nice enough until they hung up and Sam lay in the semi-darkness of his room, remembering that only a few hours before, he'd been watching a movie with Steve's best friend. And once again, Sam had failed to tell him. What is that? Bucky glanced up from the newspaper he was reading at the sound of Sam's voice. He was sitting on the couch, his legs curled up under him. It's a cat, he explained patiently, petting the animal calmly. I see that it's a cat, Sam clarified. What I meant was, what is it doing in my house? Bucky glanced down at the cat, who nipped plaintively at Bucky's hand because it had stopped moving. The cat was nearly perfectly black, except for a white cap on the tip of its tail. It was also excessively thin, missing a chunk of its left ear, and the last 3 inches of its twitching tail was bent at an awkward angle, as though it had been broken and never set properly. Bucky tilted his head at the cat, considering it for a moment, before he shrugged. I thought it was yours. Have you seen it around here before? Sam barely resisted the urge to throw his hands up in the air. Every time he convinced himself that he was getting used to Bucky's comings and goings, something would throw him for a loop again. It was exhausting. No, Bucky answered. He looked annoyingly unflustered and had already returned most of his attention to the newspaper. He had also resumed petting the cat, who didn't seem to care at all that Bucky was using his metal left hand. But it was already inside when I got here. Maybe, Sam said, just a touch more snark in his voice than was really necessary. Someone left the window open the last time he was breaking out of the house. Bucky looked up from the paper, his expression vaguely offended. I didn't use the window this time, he said, but he didn't offer an alternative explanation as to how the cat got in. The cat meowed in annoyance at Bucky's lack of attention and attempted to bite one of his metal fingers. Bucky poked its nose in retaliation, but resumed petting it. Sam watched the sight with a sinking feeling that he had already lost a fight he hadn't even started yet. That probably had something to do with a hint of a smile that was playing around the corners of Bucky's lips, and the way he was almost sprawling on the couch, instead of perching on the edge with his back ramrod straight like usual. Frustrating as it was to have already lost, Sam didn't even bother trying to argue. He just grunted, turned on his heel, and retreated into the kitchen. 2 minutes later, he returned with a spare house key that he had dug out of his drawer of spare odds and ends. He dropped it unceremoniously on the coffee table, within Bucky's easy reach. Use it, he demanded grumpily. And I am damn well not cleaning any litter boxes. He didn't give Bucky a chance to respond, heading straight for the refuge of his shower. The cat stayed. The next time Sam went to the grocery store, he ended up coming home with a litter box, a box of litter, and a giant bag of food. Within a week, an electrically powered water fountain, a handful of plush mice filled with catnip, and a mouse-shaped laser pointer had also found their way into the house. But true to his word, Sam did not clean the litter box. Sam never actually saw Bucky doing it, but at least once a week the litter box was mysteriously cleaned out and filled with fresh litter. It was sort of a relief, actually, because it meant that even if Sam didn't always see him,
Bucky was guaranteed to come back to the house at least once a week, like clockwork. In fact, the only downside was that the cat seemed to hate Sam. Or possibly the cat just hated everyone who didn't happen to have a metal arm. Every time Sam tried to pet it, it bit him. After a few days, Sam and the cat simply learned to avoid each other. It spent most of its time outside or sleeping in the bed Bucky still wasn't sleeping in anyway, so it wasn't that hard. "She needs a name," Bucky said, apropos of nothing one night. It was after dinner, and they'd been sitting in the living room in a companionable silence. Bucky was reading one of his Russian books again, while Sam played around on his tablet. "She?" Sam asked distractedly, not looking up from the article he was reading about some of the Avengers' most recent exploits. Sam would tell him a lot more than the press got to know later, but he still read every article on them anyway. "The cat," Bucky clarified. He gestured in the direction of the aforementioned creature, who had draped herself pointedly around Bucky's neck, so that his breath ruffled her fur with every exhale. "Hellion," Sam suggested in a mutter, but Bucky ignored him. Bucky had set down his book and tucked his chin in so that he could stare contemplatively at the cat. His expression was very serious, though the gravity of the moment was utterly lost on the cat, who was sound asleep. "It's your cat, man," Sam told him. "Name it whatever you want." "I think Natalia," Bucky declared after considering it for a long moment. This made Sam pause and glance up curiously. "Why?" he asked. It wasn't exactly a common name for a cat. Bucky paused, frowning a little. The look Sam had come to recognize as the one he wore when a memory hung just out of Bucky's reach. Then Bucky just shrugged. "It seems right," he said simply. And that was that.
"Sam, I've been watching YouTube videos for the past 3 hours," Steve confessed. "All I wanted was to look up this new workout routine that Clint had told me about. And now I'm watching a video about baby goats yodeling. I don't know how it happened."
Sam laughed, full and loud. "That, my friend, is the power of the internet," he assured sagely. "It happens to the best of us." He dropped the pen he'd been using to balance his checkbook and leaned back in his seat, basking in the late afternoon sun that was streaming in through the kitchen window. "Did you see the one of teacup pigs playing the piano yet?" Sam asked. "Hold on, I'll send you the link."
"There are so many amazing and useful things that the internet can be used for," Steve lamented. "And yet there are over 12 million videos of animals doing things that shouldn't be possible."
"The future is an amazing and scary place," Sam agreed, deadpan. "Just wait until you see Instagram."
"I don't know what that is, and I'm not sure that I want to know," Steve said. "I'm still trying to forget the videos of Tony's pre-Iron Man days that Natasha showed me. I never want to see that much of Tony again."
Sam snorted. "So no communal showers of the tower, huh?"
"I didn't mind it when I was in the army," Steve said. "But no, thank God, not in the tower."
Sam had a comeback on the tip of his tongue, but he lost it when Natalia leapt delicately onto the table and began attempting to tunnel her way through the papers spread out in front of Sam. "Damn it, Natalia!" Sam snapped, shooing her away. "Get off the table!" There was a pause of silence on Steve's end of the phone.
"I didn't realize you had company," Steve said delicately.
"It's just the stupid cat," Sam dismissed. He managed to nudge Natalia off the table without earning a scratch for his efforts, and the cat stalked off with her tail in the air, probably to start tearing at the leg of Sam's coffee table again.
"You didn't tell me you'd adopted a cat,"
Steve said, sounding a little hurt. Sam paused, the guilt that never really went away clenching in the pit of his stomach. "It sort of adopted me," he said. He was trying hard not to outright lie to Steve. Omitting was one thing. Omitting he could live with. But the more he lied, the deeper it felt like he was digging himself into the ground.
"I didn't really think you were a cat person," Steve commented, curiosity in his voice.
"I'm not," Sam muttered, as the sound of claws on wood reached his ears. A few hours later, he received a text from Natasha.
"Did you name your cat after me?"
That made Sam pause, long enough to wonder, but he texted back cautiously,
"I didn't name her."
Omitting things to a spy was even more dangerous than flat-out lying, but Natasha's only response was,
"I want pictures."
Sam woke up to a furry toe being shoved up his nose. On the list of weird ways Sam had been woken up that month? Well, the fact that he had a list of weird ways that he'd been woken up that month said enough about what his life had become. Natalia meowed insistently and continued pawing at Sam's face. When he groaned and buried his face in his pillow to escape, Natalia simply began targeting his ear instead.
"What do you want?" Sam snapped.
He peered at the clock blearily. It was almost 6 a.m., and he would have been waking up within 10 minutes anyway. Which, somehow, only made it worse.
"What could you possibly want at 6 a.m?"
The cat did not give up. It meowed, chewed on Sam's ear, poked its paw at every orifice Sam had, and flicked him repeatedly with its tail. After 5 minutes, Sam gave up.
"Fine, you win," he muttered. "I'm up. You act like you're never fed or something."
He dragged himself out of bed reluctantly and got dressed for his morning jog. Natalia jumped off the bed when he stood and sat by the door, twitching her tail impatiently.
"You don't have to wait for me, you know," Sam pointed out.
He paused to once again reevaluate his life when it occurred to him that he was attempting to hold a conversation with a cat. Natalia growled at him and twitched her tail.
"All right, fine," Sam grumbled. "Let's go."
Natalia led the way down the hall, trotting purposefully with her tail in the air. But she didn't stop in the kitchen at her food bowl like Sam expected. Instead, she continued onto the dark living room. Sam rolled his eyes and stayed in the kitchen, reaching for a water bottle. But a moment later, the cat was back and meowing at him.
"What?"
he asked, glaring at her with a water bottle halfway to his lips. Natalia meowed, a drawn-out sound that was distinctly urgent-sounding, and trotted back into the living room.
"What? Are we playing Lassie now? You're a cat, not a..."
Sam complained, but he stopped when he actually looked at the living room, where Bucky was sprawled on the couch, looking disturbingly pale and blood-splattered. Natalia had leapt up onto the arm of the couch next to Bucky's head and was sniffing at him cautiously. She turned to look at Sam with an expression that Sam would swear projected, "See? Look at this mess. Now what are you going to do about it?"
"Bucky?"
Sam asked cautiously, approaching the couch. Bucky's chest was rising and falling shallowly, and there was a faintly purple bruise on the underside of his chin. It wasn't the first time Bucky had come back bloody. Sam didn't usually get to actually see it, but he found used first aid supplies in the trash, and they seemed to run out of hydrogen peroxide suspiciously frequently. Bucky had been gone for 4 days this time, which had somehow become longer than usual, though Sam refused to consider that he might have been beginning to worry. The fingers of Bucky's flesh hand twitched in response, but he didn't open his eyes. His left hand, Sam noticed as he moved closer, was clamped tightly over his side, pressing down on a towel that had once been white, but had acquired a large crimson stain. Sam cursed under his breath,
and abandoned caution. He pushed the coffee table out of the way and dropped to his knees beside the couch, reaching reflexively for the towel to look at the wound. It was a mistake, and he knew it was a mistake, but he moved too quickly, too impulsively, before he could stop himself. Almost faster than the human eye could track, Bucky's metal hand had released the towel and curled around Sam's throat instead, holding him at arm's length. He'd half risen up off the couch, his eyes snapped open, and his face twisted as his chest heaved. Sam automatically tried to withdraw, the metal grip preventing him from pulling away, so he clutched at the wrist, his fingers attempting to dig uselessly into the metal joints. "Bucky," he said. Grateful that Bucky had maintained enough control not to squeeze, only to hold, to immobilize. "It's me. It's Sam. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to startle you. You're safe, you're in my house, in Washington, D.C. It's 2015. You're safe here, it's okay." He kept going, rambling assurances and details, hoping to ground Bucky, to bring him back to the present. Until finally, Bucky relaxed his hand and sank back down into the couch. "Sorry," Bucky mumbled. Sam hadn't thought it was possible, but Bucky looked even more fucked up than when he'd first appeared on Sam's doorstep. "Let me see," Sam urged, in a tone that left no room for argument. Though Bucky didn't look particularly up to arguing anyway. Bucky was so tense, he was all but quivering with it under Sam's hands. But he lay passively and let Sam pull away the towel and lift Bucky's torn shirt up to look around the wound underneath. It was a bullet hole, dug deep into Bucky's side, just above his hip. As far as wounds went, Sam had seen a lot worse. Luckily, it looked like it had been a relatively small caliber bullet, and Sam knew that, like Steve, Bucky had advanced healing. But Sam still had to fight every instinct not to drag Bucky out of there and straight to the nearest hospital. He didn't like it, but he knew he had no real choice. Even if he could manage to convince Bucky to let Sam take him to the hospital, there would be too many questions that they couldn't answer. Not when Bucky's past record and identity were still so complex. "What were you planning to do?" Sam complained through grit teeth. "Just lay here and bleed out all over my couch?" "I put a towel down," Bucky defended himself, sounding vaguely insulted. He had, but Sam's upholstery wasn't really the point. The reek of gore and smoke that wafted off of Bucky was nauseating, but since Sam couldn't take him to the hospital, he did the next best thing. "Come on," he grumbled. He wrapped his arms around Bucky, making sure that Bucky was watching him this time, so he wasn't startled by the contact, and began bodily lifting Bucky off of the couch. First aid kits in the bathroom. Bucky helped to lever himself up off the couch, for which Sam was grateful, because otherwise they would not have actually been going anywhere. Bucky leaned heavily on Sam as he stumbled toward the bathroom that had become Bucky's room. The degree to which Bucky was leaning on him, and the ragged, exhausted tension Sam could feel radiating from Bucky's body, made Sam wonder worriedly how long the ex-assassin had been bleeding, and if X was really an accurate prefix. When they made it to the bathroom, Sam deposited Bucky down on the closed lid of the toilet, holding on to him just long enough to make sure Bucky could stay upright on his own, before reaching for the first aid kit under the sink. Bucky leaned back against the toilet tank, lifting his shirt out of the way and poking at the wound with a contemplative expression on his face. When Sam knelt back in front of him with the first aid kit, he pushed Bucky's hand away. "Did you already take out the bullet?" Sam asked. Bucky paused, blinking at him blankly. Somehow, that worried Sam more than the wound itself. "There's no exit wound," Sam pointed out patiently, bending around Bucky to look at his back just to be sure. "So did you take the bullet out?" Bucky tilted his head, then shook it. For weeks now, he'd been gradually opening up. He talked more, mostly to the cat, which Sam only heard snatches of, but to Sam too. And perhaps, more importantly, he'd become more expressive, slowly shaking off the eerie blank expression he'd always worn at first. Sam had taken it as a good sign, a sign that Bucky was waking up, reconnecting both with himself and with the world. Except now, his face was blank again. There was none of the pain or anger or perhaps fear or anything that should be on the face of a man who'd been shot, no matter how long he'd been a soldier and dealt with this sort of thing. But it wasn't entirely the same guarded, defensive blankness that Sam had seen at first either. Bucky's face was empty, but there was a wideness to his eyes that reminded Sam disturbingly of a face. And as Sam gently probed the wound, Bucky went limp and placid under his touch. "The bullet has to come out," Sam said, his voice gentling instinctively. There was just something about the way Bucky's wide, empty eyes followed Sam's movement that made Sam want to hug him protectively. "I need you to hold still for me, no matter how much it hurts." It was stupid. Bucky was nearly 3 times Sam's age. Sam should not be speaking to him as though he was a child. But at that moment, Bucky looked like a child. Too quiet and too trusting. And it was all kinds of wrong that when Bucky was hurt, when Bucky had more reason than ever to be defensive and lash out and reject anyone that came near him, it was now that Bucky let Sam closer than ever. Sam didn't move, watching Bucky's face, waiting. And after a long moment, Bucky nodded slightly, just a small jerk of his head. Bucky's breathing was carefully measured, his lips slightly parted, and his hands held firmly at his sides. Only his eyes moved, tracking Sam's every movement, as Sam pulled what he would need out of the first aid kit. "I am so not trained for this," Sam muttered to himself, as he fumbled with alcohol swabs and gauze pads and a pair of long-handled tweezers. "Let me," Bucky said quietly. He plucked the tweezers out of Sam's hands with his own metal one. Sam wanted to protest, but he really was not prepared for this sort of things. Sam's hands were shaking, and Bucky's were not. So Sam sat back, watching as Bucky maneuvered the tweezers delicately with his metal hand into the hole in his side. It took much longer than Sam was comfortable with, and he winced in sympathy as Bucky dug around the wound, trying to catch a hold of the bullet, though Bucky himself hardly seemed to notice. He was precise and robotic, and when he finally managed to extract the bullet from his side, he presented it to Sam, as though handing over a mission objective. Sam swallowed and took the tweezers, dropping the bullet on the discarded towel, before cleaning up the wound as much as he could and bandaging it tightly to stop the bleeding. "Want to tell me what happened?" Sam asked, carefully, as he finished securing the bandage. He kept his tone as neutral as possible. He didn't want to pressure Bucky, who was already on edge, but Sam couldn't keep silent about it any longer. He had a sneaking suspicion he already knew where Bucky went when he disappeared. And Sam didn't like it. Bucky was still and quiet, his expression still distant and unfocused, in a way that made Sam feel distinctly uncomfortable. "I had to stop them," Bucky said at last, and his voice had a hollow quality to it, as though it were coming from a long way away. "Hydra?" Sam guessed carefully, and Bucky nodded, nothing more than a slight jerk of his head. Sam sighed, unsurprised. He began picking up the first aid kit, making sure his movements were slow and deliberate. Bucky tilted his head, watching him. "Are you going to tell me to stop?" Bucky asked, and there was something almost childlike in his voice. Sam didn't answer right away, taking his time putting away the first aid supplies and making sure he had the right words before he spoke them. "First of all," he pointed out levelly, "it isn't my place to tell you what you can and can't do. I'm not your keeper, your commander, or your mother. And secondly, even if I had a right to, no, I wouldn't tell you to stop. You're right to do it. Bucky lifted his head, obviously surprised at that. He didn't verbalize the question, but the confusion was evident on his face, so Sam answered anyway. You're right, he said with a shrug. Hydra does need to be stopped, and you've got more right than just about anyone to go after them. Bucky looked like he didn't fully believe Sam, so Sam gave in and added the unspoken but. I don't like you doing it alone, without backup. You mean Steve? Bucky asked. His voice grated slightly over the name. They never really spoke about Steve. Sam always figured Bucky would bring him up when he was ready. I mean someone, Sam countered. Bucky considered that, but he didn't speak again, so Sam let the conversation drop. He finished cleaning up and stood. He washed the blood off his hands thoroughly, then held one out to Bucky. Come on, he prompted. Let's get you to bed. Bucky hesitated, his eyes flickering towards the bathtub. You can't sleep in there, not today. Sam headed Bucky off before he could say anything. Curled up like that, your wound would never close. Bucky deliberated unhappily, then reluctantly shoved himself to his feet. He hadn't accepted Sam's hand, but when he stumbled as he turned towards the door, Sam reached out to catch him automatically, and Bucky didn't push him away. Together they made it to the bed, and Sam eased Bucky down onto it. Sam helped him ease off the remnants of Bucky's shirt and pulled off his boots for him. Bucky looked worn out and half dead on his feet, so Sam figured they'd worry about cleaning up the rest of him and getting him into clean pants later. Despite his obvious exhaustion, Bucky remained sitting on the edge of the bed, looking tense and uncomfortable. Why the bathtub? Sam asked, hoping that the answer would lead him to a way to make the bed more acceptable to Bucky. Bucky considered for a moment, running his right hand over the fabric of the old blanket he was sitting on. It's too open, he said eventually, nodding toward the bed. Exposed? Sam guessed. That was pretty common. Bucky inclined his head, but then shook it. Yes and no, he said. He frowned, his eyebrows drawn together in a deep crease, and his lips pursed as he struggled to find the words. I don't remember sleeping, he said, the words coming out stiff and stilted. Not normal sleep. For a while, I couldn't figure out how to... He fumbled for a moment, looking for the word. Shut down, he settled on eventually. They always did it for me. They put me in a tube, and everything would go quiet and dark for a while. Cryostasis, Sam said quietly, putting together the fragments of what Bucky was saying with the pieces of the file he'd read. Bucky looked at him, his gaze distant and lost in his memories. That's what it's called, Sam explained, when they shut you down. He didn't like the term, but it was the one Bucky had used, and he couldn't think of a better one. Bucky nodded in confirmation. Yeah, he said. That. Bucky pulled at a loose thread of the blanket. That's what I think about to fall asleep, being in the tube those last few seconds, before everything went dark and quiet. And the bathtub reminds you of the tube? Sam surmised. Because it has sides? Bucky considered for a moment, then nodded. Yeah, I guess. Sam contemplated the bed, thinking it over. How about we build a nest, he suggested. Bucky just looked at him in blank confusion. With pillows, Sam clarified. We can sort of build walls out of pillows, so you don't feel as exposed. It won't be the same, but maybe it'll help? Bucky's shoulders were slumped, and he looked as though he was on the verge of passing out. So Sam didn't wait for him to answer. Quickly, Sam began gathering up every pillow and cushion in the house. When he returned to the bedroom, Bucky was lying down and had wrapped the blanket around him. Sam was pretty sure that at this point, Bucky would be unconscious in a matter of minutes anyway, no matter how uncomfortable the bed made him. But Sam started building a nest around Bucky anyway. Luckily, thanks to the amount of time he'd spent babysitting his nieces and nephews, he was a pro at building pillow forts. In a matter of minutes, Sam had Bucky comfortably ensconced in a ring of pillows and spare blankets, and Bucky was soundly asleep. Once he was certain that Bucky was settled and as comfortable as possible, Sam left the room long enough to call into work, drag a chair into Bucky's room, and grab his tablet. He felt a little stupid doing it, but Bucky's breathing was still too shallow for his comfort, and frankly, he just didn't want to leave. Bucky slept for 12 hours, and when he woke up, he ate everything in the kitchen. By morning, the wound looked like it was a week old. Sam was halfway through folding his laundry when his phone rang. It was also 10 o'clock on a Friday night. "I thought you were busy tonight," Sam said, pinning the phone between his shoulder and ear. Steve chuckled on the other end, low and embarrassed.
"Yeah, well, I was,"
he sighed. "Well, at least she got you home before curfew," Sam teased. "So, Jenny was a bust, huh?"
"She prefers Jennifer."
Steve's voice was tired and lacking in his usual humor.
"She was fine. We just didn't have much to talk about."
"Natasha is going to be so pissed," Sam informed Steve. He abandoned his half-folded clothes in favor of sprawling across his bed, his phone held loosely to his ear. "She was so excited that she finally convinced you to take someone out."
"Yeah, I know. I kind of had to sneak back into the tower so she wouldn't see."
There was a groan in Steve's voice, and a soft noise that sounded distinctly like Steve's broad shoulders hitting his mattress. "Maybe you should try getting her into a new hobby," Sam suggested.
"She and Thor have been learning tennis," Steve said,
and Sam took a moment to appreciate that thought.
"But she promised not to give up on me. And it's not that I don't want to date. It's just..."
"Complicated?" Sam finished for him, and Steve sighed.
"Yeah."
"You know, you don't have to find your soulmate right now," Sam pointed out. "There's nothing wrong with just, you know, having a little fun."
"I have fun,"
Steve protested.
"I am a fun guy. I just don't see how exchanging awkward small talk with a stranger and pretending that neither of you have any expectations is fun."
"I hate to say it, man, but that usually means you're dating the wrong people." Sam didn't actually have a lot of experience with dating. He had a habit of more or less falling into relationships without meaning to, which meant he usually skipped right over the awkward first dates.
"It's just exhausting. Trying," Steve complained.
"You've been on one date," Sam snorted.
"This century,"
Steve argued, but Sam could hear the smile creeping into Steve's voice, and it only made him laugh harder.
"I went on dates before the war, double dates usually, with but..."
Steve stopped short. The smile was gone, and Sam's laughter died instantly. "It's okay," Sam said after a long pause, "if you're not ready to date right now. You don't have to." He hesitated, unsure of the right term. He'd never pried into the nature of Steve and Bucky's relationship, after all. "Move on. There's no rush." Steve was silent for so long that Sam was half convinced Steve had hung up on him.
"I miss him,"
Steve said at last, his voice so soft that Sam almost missed it. The pain in Steve's voice was so raw that it made Sam's throat close up in sympathy. He almost broke. He almost stormed out into the living room and thrust the phone into Bucky's hand and demanded that they sort it out. But instead, he stayed where he was, paralyzed on the bed and aching for Steve. And for Bucky. And, a little selfishly, for himself too. "He'll come back, Steve," he said quietly. "When he's ready. Just give him time." It was the closest thing to the truth that Sam could offer Steve. Bucky wasn't lacking in feelings for Steve. Sam knew that with absolute certainty from the way Bucky's face tightened every time Steve was mentioned. Sam had to believe that they'd work it out eventually. He couldn't stay stuck between them forever.
"Yeah."
Steve cleared his throat roughly.
It's late. I should go."
"Yeah," Sam agreed, forcing himself to breathe past the tightness in his chest. "I'll talk to you later. And Steve?" He paused, reconsidering his words, but he blundered forward anyway. "Just don't give up, okay?"
"Good night, Sam."
"All right, off the couch," Sam said as he entered the living room. Despite the fact that it was 6:30 in the morning, Bucky was, in fact, seated on the couch reading. He'd apparently gotten tired of the Russian engineering manuals he'd been reading the week before and moved on to some of Sam's old comic books. Based on the degree to which the couch cushions had been smushed out of place, Sam was willing to bet that Bucky had been there all night. Bucky raised an eyebrow at him. "If you wanted the living room, you could have just said..." "You need to start getting back out into the world," Sam cut him off. Ever since Bucky had come back with a bullet in his side, he'd been disappearing less and less. The wound was now nothing more than a faint pink scar that would soon disappear entirely. And as far as Sam could tell, Bucky hadn't left the house in a week. Bucky blinked at him, his expression blank and unimpressed. "The sun is barely out in the world right now," Bucky pointed out. "Baby steps," Sam shrugged. "Look, I'm glad that you're here. I really am. But you cannot keep skulking around my house. You need to start establishing normal routines. So I want you to come out running with me." "Running where?" Bucky asked dubiously. "I usually head over to the reflecting pool," Sam said. "But we can go someplace quieter for the first time if you'd prefer." "Running from what?"
Bucky tilted his head at Sam in such a way that it made it impossible to tell if Bucky was screwing with him or not.
"The calories we've eaten recently," Sam shrugged. "Come on, I've got a pair of spare running shoes in the laundry room."
Bucky studied him for a long minute, then shrugged and unfolded himself from the couch. By the time Sam had filled two water bottles and eaten a power bar, Bucky was back in sweats, running shoes, and a tank top. He'd even pulled his hair back into a messy ponytail. "All right," Sam cheered, handing Bucky a water bottle and power bar. He led the way outside, and Bucky trailed behind him. When they rounded their fifth block, and Bucky's breathing was still deep and easy, it occurred to Sam that he was probably going to regret this.
"Look, Natasha, all I'm saying is maybe lay off a little," Sam said. "If Steve wants to date, he'll date."
He held his phone pressed firmly between his ear and shoulder as he juggled the takeout bags he was holding. He'd gotten stuck late at the VA and decided to pick up a late dinner from his favorite Chinese restaurant, tucked between a nightclub and a tattoo parlor. He had to concentrate to hear Natasha's reply over the throbbing beat of music coming from the club. He'd had to park several blocks away, thanks to the Friday night crowd, and he regretted getting so much food.
"He wants to date," Natasha retorted. "He just doesn't want to date any of the girls I set him up with."
"Maybe don't set him up with girls then," Sam pointed out. Steve had never really said anything directly to him about it. But the way Steve talked about Bucky, he didn't need to.
I tried that too.
Natasha's tone was distinctly put out, and Sam laughed. Is this something you do regularly? Sam asked out of curiosity. Or is Steve a special case?
Why?
She asked.
You looking to hire my services?
I don't think I can handle the type of people you're friends with. Sam refused, snorting.
You handle Steve just fine.
If Sam had been paying more attention, he might have found a double entendre in that. But his attention had been drawn by a distinctly pained cry.
If you change your mind, I might have someone.
Natasha was still talking. But Sam had completely stopped paying attention. He had left the club far enough behind that only the faintest vibrations remained in the air, and the street was all but empty. Sam followed the sound to the mouth of an alley between a dry cleaner's and a used bookstore. Like most alleys, this one was dark and full of trash, but Sam could make out the shapes of four men, grouped around another man on the ground, who they were kicking repeatedly.
I don't have any money.
The man on the ground was crying, trying desperately to protect his head. Natasha, I'll call you back, Sam said. He didn't wait for a response as he hung up the phone and headed down the alley. Hey, he called as he approached the group of men. He knew it was stupid, but his pulse was speeding, and he could feel the tension in his muscles uncoiling as he braced himself for a fight. One of the men pulled away from the group to face Sam. Keep walking, bro, he said. Sam did exactly that, though he continued walking towards the thugs. Sam swung the bag of Chinese food he was holding at the first man he reached, using it to obscure his vision while Sam drove a punch into his gut. After that, things moved quickly. The rest of the thugs abandoned their original target to converge on Sam. Sam blocked, kicked, and punched by rout. He didn't even realize that one of the men had pulled back until the retort of a gun echoed through the air and a sharp pain burst across Sam's side. Sam stumbled back, his hand automatically dropping to cover the spot. Before Sam could recover, a dark shape pushed past him and barreled into the thugs. Sam's legs went out from under him, his vision going blurry as he watched. What followed was a lot of screaming and blurry, shadowed motion, but Sam did catch sight of a distinct metal hand glinting in the faint light filtering into the alley from the distant streetlights. Blood was covering Sam's fingers, thick and warm. He knew the wound wasn't too serious, but he was breathing heavily, and he could feel shock beginning to set in. He was dimly aware of a cold brick wall against his back, and he blinked hard, trying to inspect the wound in his side. Sam! It was Bucky's voice, and it shouldn't have surprised him, but he jumped all the same. Bucky was kneeling in front of him, a deep furrow between his eyebrows. He pulled Sam's hand away from the wound, bending to inspect it himself. Sam blinked at him. What are you doing here? He asked, confused. How did you... You didn't come home, Bucky said stiffly. There was concern in Bucky's voice, Sam registered. Bucky was concerned for him. A crooked grin pulled at Sam's lips. I had to work late, he mumbled. Of all the things that were important at the moment, that was not among them. But the thought that Bucky was worried about him, that Bucky cared, made something warm blossom in Sam's chest, and he was having a hard time letting go. I was bringing home dinner. Bucky glanced down the alleyway, where Sam could just make out the shapes of the four thugs laying among the remains of what had been meant to be their dinner. Absently, Sam hoped that the thugs were just unconscious, not dead. I think dinner's a little ruined, Bucky said, deadpan. Sam laughed, low and rough. Sirens echoed down the street, coming closer, and Bucky tensed automatically. You have to go, Sam said,
trying to push Bucky's hands away from his wound. The police will be here any minute. Bucky nodded, reaching to pull Sam to his feet, but Sam waved him off. You go, he repeated. I'm staying. Bucky stared at him, appalled. Look, you can't be here when the police show up, Sam tried to explain, again trying to push Bucky away. I can't heal like you. I need to go to the hospital. They'll make sure I get there. Go back to the house and wait. Bucky hesitated, but as the police cars came to a stop at the end of the alley, Bucky reluctantly pulled away and fled.